On Monday's front page, the estimated death toll in Japan soared as relief efforts stepped up. The uprising in Libya has taken a darker turn. The rebels are preparing for what some are calling their last stand against forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. And the gamblers on a bus that crashed on I-95, killing 14 passengers. In Manhattan's Chinatown, some say if they didn't know someone on the bus, they knew someone who did. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says radioactive steam could continue to escape from two crippled nuclear plants in Japan for weeks or even months. Japanese officials say radioactivity measured outside the two plants is twice the legal level Japan considers safe. But Pentagon officials reported helicopters flying 60 miles from one plant picked up small amounts of radioactive particles. That could point to widening environmental contamination. Times reporter Matthew L. Wald explains the situation.
The overall problem is that when the earthquake hit, the reactors shut down. But when a reactor shuts down, it's still producing heat, and it takes many hours for that heat to decline. You have to keep the fuel cool. Now, the reactors are usually well set up to do that. They have electric pumps, but that didn't work because the grid went down. They have steam-driven pumps, and they use the steam-driven pumps to pump water in. But eventually, the fuel was exposed either to air or to steam, and it overheated and it cracked. They also had such high pressures that they had to vent the steam. Well, when you vent that steam, you're letting out a little bit of radioactivity if the fuel is intact, and more radioactivity if it's cracked or melted. And that's the stage they're at now.
That's Times reporter Matthew L. Wald. Times reporter Michael Wine says people who live near the stricken nuclear plants felt a false sense of security. Some ignored evacuation orders on Friday, figuring the power plants would never have been built if they were vulnerable. Meantime, the Japanese government ordered nearly half the country's active military force mobilized for relief work. An American naval strike group arrived to help with supply and rescue duties. Elsewhere on Monday's page one, Times reporter Anthony Shadid says forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi advanced on a town close to the opposition capital of Benghazi. The rebels prepared for what some are calling a last stand. That came after another day of retreat, this time from the refinery and port at Brega. This week, the UN Security Council may take up a call from the Arab League for a no-fly zone. Russia and China are against that, and it still lacks clear support from the U.S. and Europe. Monday's Times looks at the 14 passengers killed when a bus crashed in the Bronx on the way back from the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut. The bus was headed to Manhattan's Chinatown, and many Chinese immigrants say if they didn't know someone on the bus, they know someone who did. Law enforcement officials are still investigating why the bus crashed. The driver told investigators the bus was clipped by a tractor trailer. But according to the Associated Press, passengers told the authorities the bus swerved for no apparent reason. Inside Monday's Times, trying to be all things to all Republicans. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty is testing the waters for the presidency by reaching out to different constituencies within the GOP. That risks failing to excite any one segment. Pawlenty has a solid record as a fiscally conservative governor in a politically divided state, but he still faces competition when it comes to winning over Tea Party supporters. He's also an evangelical Christian, but he has yet to build a loyal following among religious conservatives. Monday's Business Day section says some states that are short on cash are pressuring Amazon.com to take on a role it really doesn't want as a tax collector. Amazon has been fighting state officials over whether it should collect sales taxes. Last week, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn signed a law requiring online retailers that work with affiliates there to collect state sales taxes. At least five other states are considering similar laws. Amazon says they're unconstitutional. Computers are getting better at knowing when to hold 'em or fold 'em. Card-playing software is now good enough to win thousands on poker sites online. The sites ban the bots when they catch them. One software developer says 400 of his customers have been thrown off the site Full Tilt. He also says Full Tilt has seized more than $50,000 of their money. Tough immigration measures are being slowed at the state level because there's no consensus among state lawmakers. Immigrant advocates say the debate has shifted toward tougher enforcement, but so far no states have passed anything along the lines of the tough Arizona law that's now nearly a year old. Similar bills have been advancing in Florida, Kansas, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. Israel approved new construction in the West Bank. The announcement ended a government slowdown that had lasted several months. The approvals are aimed at angry settlers in the wake of the deaths of five members of one family in one settlement. They were stabbed to death while they were asleep. The killers are widely suspected of being Palestinians. Monday's arts section looks at the offstage dramas behind the Spider-Man musical. Last week, the opening was delayed for the sixth time. Spider-Man has now cost more than $70 million. That makes it the most expensive show in Broadway history. Four cast members have been injured during preview performances, one seriously. Lead producer Michael Cole says that on a scale of 1 to 10, Spider-Man is a 10, but it needs to be a 12. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.